following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
This beam went all the way over here. I think this floor was exactly 6 cubits tall. I don't know. I can't remember these things anymore. It must be my age. I am over 900 years old. You build one boat and everybody thinks that you're a professional, and they want to know how you did it, why you did it. They want to duplicate exactly what you did. And all I can tell them is, I don't know. I just did exactly what God told me to do. It didn't make sense at the time. And when God first asked me to do it, I gave him the excuse, God, I'm too old for that. I was 500 years old the day the Lord told me to build a boat. I didn't even know what a boat was. And why he chose me, I don't know. Of all the people in the world, God chose me. One person to save all of humanity. The world was corrupt at the time. Oh, it was wicked. People weren't doing anything that the Lord wanted them to do. People were doing only what they wanted to do. I've never seen anything like it before. There's a lot of things that I won't remember, but there's also a lot of things that I'll never, ever forget. I was just doing what came naturally to me. My father, Lamech, he was 777 years old when he died. And he taught me to walk with the Lord. Throughout my life, that's all he ever did. He not only taught me to walk with the Lord, but he showed me how important it was for him. Each and every day I would see him worshiping the Lord, giving the Lord everything that he had. And he told me this. He said, Noah, one of these days this world is going to find comfort in you. So that's why he named me Noah. My name Noah means rest or comfort. And out of all the people in the world, God chose me to be a part of his plan to save the human race. I didn't know what was going to happen. We had never seen rain before. We were in the middle of a desert. It was the strangest thing ever. Has God ever asked you to do something that didn't make any sense? Has God ever asked you to do something that just didn't add up? Where would I get all of this gopher wood from to build this ark? 3.1 million board feet. I have never in my life seen that many trees to get that much lumber from. But God was very, very specific in his directions. He said, Noah, build an ark. It needs to be 450 feet long. I think you have something these days called football stadiums. 1.5 football fields long is how long this ark was going to be. 75 feet wide and over 45 feet tall. That's 4 stories. There was going to be 3 levels in this boat. What in the world are we going to put inside of this boat? I had no clue. When I started, I was a little over 500 years old building the ark. And the day the rain came, I was 600 years old when God closed the door. But there were so many things that I saw God provide for along the way. God, I'm one man. How can one man take on this huge task that you're asking me to do. So at 500 years old, he gave me three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Oh, they were a big help. I don't know how I would have accomplished it if they hadn't shown up. But God provided everything that I needed along the way. All I had to do was say, yes, Lord. And then when I wasn't building the boat, I was busy preaching. I wanted people to know the Lord wants to save you. He wants to do something with your life. But there is a punishment coming, and you can avoid this punishment by saying yes to the Lord. I would tell them about how good God is day after day after day, months and years preaching a message of righteousness. Turn from your wicked ways. Don't live your life like this anymore. But they just wouldn't listen. All they would do was make fun of me for being obedient. Noah, you are out of your mind doing what the Lord told you to do. We've never seen anything like this before. This is the crazy. You're just a crazy old man. You don't even know what you're talking about. But all of that changed in one day. As we were building the boat, my sons were so faithful in helping me. God, if you don't save anybody else, save my family. And all of this was because God saw something in me. He saw me living a life that was what you would call countercultural. I wasn't doing what was popular. I wasn't doing what everybody else was doing. I was doing what the Lord wanted me to do. I was living a life of righteousness. I wanted to be pleasing to the Lord. Somehow or another, the Lord saw me, and I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Do you know what grace is? Have you ever experienced God's grace? Unmerited favor. Something that I didn't deserve. Something that I could not earn. And something that God wanted to freely give me. All I had to do was say, yes, Lord. All I had to do was be obedient in the path that he was directing me in. All I had to do was take his instructions and step by step follow what he asked me to do, even when no one else would. That's what grace is all about. Grace is accepting God's directions. Grace is accepting God's offering of salvation. Grace is saying, yes, Lord. I believe there was another man who also had some dealings with some boats. His name was John Newton, and he wrote a song about how amazing grace was. Why don't you sing it with me? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Yeah, sing it loud. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In a time when the whole world was wicked, doing what it wanted to do, living its life the way it wanted to live. But yet I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You see, here's what the scriptures tell us. It says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking those whose hearts are perfect towards him. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. And all that time I was praying to the Lord, Lord, show me the life that you want me to live. And that's exactly what he did. And when I said yes to the Lord, he gave me everything I needed. Have you said yes to the Lord? Have you experienced his grace in your life? You see, this world was not living the way that God designed it to live. Way, way, way back, my great, 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 great grandfather, Adam, he made a mistake. And through that one man, sin entered into this world. There's a guy you know by the name of the Apostle Paul. Here's what he has to say about that. He says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into this world, and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. You see, God is a God of love. He is a God of mercy. He is a God of grace. But he is also a God of justice. And when someone disobeys him, it brings about cursings instead of blessings. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And each and every person I met, the crowds that I would preach to, I would tell them, turn from your wicked ways. There's still chance. There's still a plan that God has for you and your life. But they just wouldn't listen. There was plenty enough room on the ark. God made sure that there was enough room for everyone, that everyone would have a chance. But God also put a deadline on it. He said, my offer is only good for a limited time. There's going to come a day when your opportunity is over. You'll hear the message many, 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 many times. You'll hear about how God loves you. You'll hear about how Jesus died for you. You'll hear about how his blood cleanses you from all of your sins. But yet the choice is up to you to accept his gift of salvation. I'll never forget the looks on their faces. They would laugh at me. They would mock me. Some of them would even curse at me. Some of them would say that I was a Jesus freak and the life that I was living was useless. I'll never forget their remarks. I'll never forget how much their words hurt when all I was doing was trying to help them. But yet they still would not listen. We had never seen rain before. There was no need for a boat. And then one day, when the boat was ready, God's plan was finally coming together. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall. You know, they still use the same length, the width, the height, the ratio in boats today. That just goes to show you that God's plan is always best. Make it out of gopher wood, he said. But Lord, I can't make it that tight. The water's still going to get in. He said, cover it with pitch. Make sure on the inside and the out it's covered and it's sealed so nothing from the outside world will penetrate and get in and harm those that are safely inside of the ark. One window up on the top to let the sunlight come in. Once the rain stopped, there was no rudder on this boat. My wife said that's a good thing because men don't like to ask for directions. So we let the Lord lead the way. But there was only one way in. There was only one door for me, my wife, my three sons, and their wives. And all of the animals that the Lord would bring. I didn't have to go corral them. I didn't have to drag them in by a rope. Just like everything else, the Lord provided everything necessary for all of us to be safe inside the ark. And the door was open the entire time. The offering stood. Come to Jesus. Find safety. Come find comfort. Come find refuge. Come find rest. Because God's judgment is coming. Some say, why would God allow bad things to happen? If God is a God of love, if he is a God of mercy, why would he allow bad things to happen to his creation? That's not his plan. That's not his purpose. You see, just like me, God had a plan for my life. He had one reason for me to be here on this earth. He gave me the ability, even when I was 500 years old. I told the Lord, I'm too old for this. I tried to give him excuses, but he said, Noah, you're the man. You're the only one that I can find on this earth that I know will trust me. And I'm putting it in your hands. He says, Noah, I want you to tell everyone that I have a plan for their life as too. And my plan is good for them. My plan is not to harm. I don't want to harm them. I want them to come to me. I want them to repent. You see, here's what the Bible says, is that God has given us a purpose. God is not slack concerning his promise, but he is long-suffering towards us. I love that word, long-suffering, because when you get to me by age, people have to wait on you. Long-suffering and patient. That's how the Lord is. He's not quick on his judgment. He doesn't lash out at you when you make a mistake. He doesn't strike you down when you commit one sin, but he is patient, and the door is open. He's saying to you right now, you have an opportunity today to come find safety. And my promise is that if you'll put your faith and your hope and your trust in me, you'll find salvation. God is not slack concerning his promise, but he's long-suffering towards us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's what I told the people of my day. Turn to the Lord. You're going in the wrong direction. You're not living the life that the Lord has planned for you. That is not his path. That's not his purpose for your life. The word repentance means that you're going in the wrong direction, but all of a sudden you turn towards the Lord and you begin going in the direction that he has. You go through that one door, that one provision, that one way in that he has provided. See, a lot of people think that there's many different ways that you can get to the Lord, but that's not what the Bible teaches. There's a lot of people that think that just by leading a good life, you can find your way to the Lord. A lot of people think that just by giving a lot of money, you can find your way to the Lord. A lot of people think that you can work, 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 serve, do good things to get to the Lord. But the Bible says that there's only one way, and his name is Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You see, Jesus is the door to salvation. The same way that my ark only had one door to get into, one door to find safety, one door to find salvation. The whole world, God said he was going to flood the whole world. That was going to be his form of judgment. He was upset. He was even sorry that he had made mankind. He said, I just want to restart all over again. Noah, I think you can do a better job. Noah, I think you can be the one to begin repopulating the earth and helping me to fulfill my overall plan. You see, it's through this one man, Adam, that sin entered into this world. But there was one man, me, that the world could find safety through. Through one man, the whole world was condemned. There's another scripture in Romans chapter 5. And it says this, therefore, it's through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. That's why God was going to wipe the whole world out, because sin had spread so far. But even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. How humbling is it to know that I found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and that through me, God wanted to save his creation. They wouldn't come. They chose not to. I don't know why. And I didn't know how it was going to end up. When I was 600 years old, the ark was complete. The door was open. The animals came. My family and I, at the last minute, we got into the ark as the raindrops began to fall. That's when people started looking at me. I wasn't crazy anymore. There are a lot of things that I will tend to forget. There are a lot of things that I won't be able to remember. One of the things that I'll never, ever forget is the sound that it made when God closed the door. And I knew that the time had come. I knew that God's patience had reached its breaking point. I knew that judgment was fixing to fall upon this entire world. And I knew that I still had family and friends, people that I knew in my community that were still on the outside that chose not to accept the offer of salvation. As the rain began to fall harder and harder and harder, no water came into the ark. Myself and everyone inside, we were dry. We were safe. We knew that we were where God wanted us to be. But on the outside, I'll never forget. There were mothers with little babies trying to find a way to get them on board the ark, but it was too late. The door was closed. I had been telling them for many, 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 many years. I had begged with them. I had pleaded with them. There were fathers trying to hoist their children up. They were scratching on the side of the ark. They were clawing, trying to make a way in, but it was too late. The ark was covered with pitch. They couldn't get in. Do you have any friends that don't know the Lord? Do you have anybody that you know right now that if they died, they would go straight to hell? Do you have anybody right now that is fixing to fall under God's judgment, that if they died today, they wouldn't make it to heaven? Won't you tell them about the goodness of the Lord? Won't you tell them about God's grace and his mercy and his provision of salvation? Don't wait till it's too late. Because the way things are in the world right now are the same way things were back then. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. People were doing only what they wanted to do. They were living their lives the way they wanted to live. Even some of the things that God has created and God has blessed us with, they have corrupted. Even as in the days of Noah, they were eating, they were drinking, they were giving in marriage. Boy, marriage today just isn't what it was used to be. Marriage today is not at all what God created it for. Those are just a few of the signs that the end may be near. And if you have friends who have never heard about the goodness of God, if you have friends who have never, ever entered into a relationship with Him, what would keep you from telling them? What would keep you from sharing that good news with those that you love? Because if you would have heard what I heard on that day, as the water came up, the cries got louder, the pounding on the side of the ark got stronger. Let us in, Noah. We're sorry. We believe you now. Don't let this happen to us. And then all of a sudden, nothing but the sound of the water lapping on the side of the boat. All the cries were silenced. All the shouting stopped. And I sat there with tears in my eyes. Lord, I tried to tell them. Lord, you gave them the opportunity. Lord, they knew that this was coming. Lord, why didn't they trust? You see, God has given us all something we call free will. God doesn't force His love upon us. You can't force your love upon someone. You can't make somebody accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They have to make that decision on their own. They have to read the evidence on their own. You see, to build the ark, I had a blueprint. This was the only thing that I knew of. This was the only thing that my life was focused on, was the plans that God had made for me and the purpose that He had for my life and for mankind. You have a blueprint as well. I'm getting too old for this. Your blueprint is called God's Word. Your Word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The steps of a good man, a good woman, a good person are ordered by the Lord. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God says in His Word, my word will not return void, but it will produce exactly what I send it out for. It will accomplish those things that I have set it out for. It seemed like for hours the shouts and the screams and the pleas for help continued on, and then there was silence. And in that silence, here's what God said to me. Noah, you're going to be all right. Noah, I'm going to bless you for being obedient to me. And in that quiet time, I felt a peace that surpasses all understanding. The day I told the Lord that I would be obedient to His plans, that was one thing. But to see God's plan unfold, to see God's plan produced in my life, to see His will accomplished just because I was willing to say yes in that moment, in that quiet time, I sensed the Lord's presence like I never have before. How's your quiet time? When is the last time that you felt a peace in your life that you've never experienced before? Even when I was on board the ark with all the animals, there was a lot to do. I would still find that quiet place and get along with the Lord. Lord, what's next? How long is this going to last? The rain fell for 40 days and 40 nights. We were on the board the ark for many, many months. before the water finally receded. But my family and I, we were safe. We were safe because I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I wasn't doing anything different. I was doing what I was taught to do. I was living my life for the Lord because I loved the Lord. And I wanted to see what His purpose for my life was. My family and I, because I found grace in the eyes of the Lord, my family and I found safety. We found salvation. We found out what God's plan and God's purpose was for our life. You know, God has a plan for your life as well. God has a purpose for you being here. Listen closely to what I'm fixing to say to you. Don't ever let anybody say that you're useless. Don't ever think that your past is something that God is going to hold against you. Don't ever think that God is looking to see who is the most talented, who is the most gifted, who is the most smartest person there is. You see, that's what man looks at. Man looks on the outward appearance. That's not what God looks at. The Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance. But the Lord looks on the heart. What's in your heart today? Have you given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you said yes to His plan? Have you accepted His gift of salvation? And if your life were to be over today, where would you spend eternity at? See, you too can find grace. God has made a provision for you as well. It's not an ark. It's not a ship. It's made out of wood. It's called the cross of Calvary. And there you can find safety. And there you can find refuge. And it's not covered with pitch. It's not covered with tar. It's covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's only through that you can find grace. And it's only through that you can find salvation. You see, there's someone used to be known as the Saul of Tarsus. He was a pretty bad guy from what I hear. He used to persecute Christians. He used to go out dragging people to jail because they loved the Lord. He thought that a person could get to heaven by doing good works, by adhering to the law. That was a works-based faith. And it didn't work. But one day he was on the road to Damascus. And there he too found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And his life was radically changed. So much that his name was even changed. He was no longer known as Saul of Tarsus, but the Apostle Paul, as you know him. And he's the one that wrote all about God's grace in the book of Romans. There's also another letter that he wrote, a letter to a church at Ephesus. And here's what he said about finding grace in the eyes of the Lord and how you can be saved. He says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You see, it's not a coincidence that you are here today. It's not a coincidence that you just happened to show up here on this day, October 20th, 2024. God has made many promises in His Word. God even made a promise to me after the flood. When we came off of the ark, we looked in the sky, and for the first time ever, we saw a rainbow. Something that man has corrupted in our modern times as well. And when we saw that, God said, "This is my promise that I will never, ever destroy the earth with the flood." That was His covenant to me. That was His covenant to you. But long before all of this ever happened, God knew what He was going to do. This wasn't by accident. God had a plan and a purpose for me being there at that time, living a righteous life, finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. And now today, this very day, God has you here. This is an appointed time for you to be here today. And right now, I'm pretty certain that someone in this audience the Lord is speaking to. You've heard the message many times before. How Jesus bled and died for your sins. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. But I'm pretty sure there are some of you here as well that are trying to get to heaven your own way. But just like that one door on the ark, there's only one way to heaven. And it's through a man by the name of Jesus Christ. You see, we've all sinned and we've fallen short of God's glory. We've made mistakes. We've gone against God's will. The Bible says that there are none righteous, no, not one. That's the problem, because that creates a separation between us and the God that loves us. So today, this very day, are you in the ark? Or are you in the world? Are you living your life the way that God intended you for to live? Or are you living your life the way everybody else is living? Are you living your life to please the Lord? Or are you living your life to please people? The decision's yours. God's not going to force His will upon your life. God's not going to force His love upon you. But God freely offers the invitation, come to Jesus. The Bible says, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Where do you stand today? When is the last time that you have really heard the voice of the Lord? Most importantly, when you heard the voice of the Lord, did you respond or did you ignore it? Today God is speaking to you. You may be here today and God is calling you to do something special. You may be here today and God is calling you to do something that doesn't make sense. You may be here today to do something that you've never done before. Maybe you're here today and God's asking you to go in a direction that you've never been in before. Can I speak from personal experience? Don't worry about the details. God's got it all worked out. All you have to do is take that first step and say yes to the Lord. And He works out the details. He makes every provision in every way possible for those who will say yes to His plan. Because it's not your plan, it's His plan. You may be here today and you have no idea where you'll spend eternity at. you've never accepted God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, I want to offer you that opportunity today. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Basically, the invitation is for everyone. What has God spoken to your heart today? And are you willing to respond? Let me just say this. Don't worry about what anybody else will think. Don't worry about what anybody else will say. In your mind right now, just imagine it is you and the Lord only here in this room. And if He's speaking to you, don't delay. Because you don't know when the door is going to be closed. You don't know if this is going to be your last opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's why we have an invitation time. Maybe God is calling you to some specific type of ministry. Maybe God is calling you just into a deeper relationship with Him. Maybe there's some besetting sin in your life that you can't break. Bring it to Jesus. This front row of pews will be opened up as an altar, a place where you can come and get along with the Lord. If you need to know more about beginning a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be here to talk to you. John Logan will be here to talk to you. We want to answer any questions that you may have about a relationship with the Lord, and we're not going to leave until those are settled. But in just a moment, when I finish praying, and when the music begins, we're all going to stand, and that'll be your cue to move forward. Don't let anything stop you. Step out of that pew and into the aisle. Take me or John Logan by the hand and say, I need Jesus in my life. And we'll tell you how to begin that relationship. Maybe you just want us to pray with you about something or someone. We want to offer you that opportunity as well. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your free gift of salvation. It comes through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, I thank you for this moment in time with this group of people here. And I pray, Lord God, that you have opened some eyes to your good gift of salvation. Lord, I know some people are sitting there in fear right now, but there's nothing to be afraid of. I know some people that may be worried that they'll be embarrassed or will try to embarrass them. Lord, that's not the case. We want to make sure that each and every person here has an opportunity to surrender to you. So, Lord, I pray for boldness in this building. I pray for people to be obedient, Lord God, in their steps. That those that you're speaking to, Lord God, that they will respond and they will quit saying no. But they will say yes to Jesus. We just ask all of these things in your most precious and holy name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.